Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness of Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power, and we may say unto him, what doest thou?
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord God, come before you, Lord God, and again, Lord God, we just ask you now, Lord God, speak to us, Lord God, through your words, Lord God, and Lord, as we look, dear Lord God, at this teaching, dear God, that is Hebrew roots, doctrine, Lord God, you would help us, Lord God, to see through the spirit of lies, dear God, that is at work, dear God, in the name of Hebrew roots, Lord God, and Lord, you would help us, dear God, to help others, dear God, who themselves, dear God, have been seduced by the spirit of lies, dear God, at work in the name of Hebrew roots, and Lord God, we pray, again, Lord God, for Emily and her family, Lord God, pray for the salvation of her mother Mary Jo, and put that whole situation to you there as well, dear Lord God, as I forgot to mention that earlier. We ask you to get honor and glory through that and work in hearts, Lord God, as you see fit. Be glorified now, sanctified, dear God, all the more through thy word, even as thy word is truth. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You can turn to St. Matthew chapter 12 a while. While you're turning to St. Matthew chapter 12, I'm just going to go ahead and read here from St. Mark 4, just reiterate something that we said recently. And it says, St. Mark chapter 4, verse 6, it's great, Mark 4, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. The Hebrew, the soul that fully embraces in his or her heart, the Hebrew roots doctrine, has no root. The Word of God, if it takes root in a heart, will ultimately turn one away from the Hebrew roots doctrine. And that will become all the more evident after we get done with this here this evening. Let's start off here in St. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 24. One of the Pharisees heard it. In fact, we'll go ahead and start here with a couple of verses to get the whole context. St. Mark 12, why don't we just go ahead and start right here. Verse 1, we'll read down through here. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples weren't hungry. Began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. He said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was at hunger, and they were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the shewbread which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. Verse 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Therefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Shall not strive, nor cry, but shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The bruised reed shall he not break, the smitten flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. That was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Verse 23. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. If I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind a strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Verse 31. Before I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, in case you do not understand why the Pharisees made such an accusation against Jesus, you will understand after we get done with this here tonight. Again, we're continuing to embrace Hebrew Roots, Chapter 3 by Victoria Dillon. The Talmud in Jesus Christ, the author writes, Since we are asked to embrace the teachings of the Talmud and various other writings of the Hebrew people, we should start by inquiring as to what these teach about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Real quickly, let's just rehash or go over once again the Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is a commentary on the Mishnah composed by Babylonian Jewish sages. Now the Mishnah, again, the Jews of Spain who followed Babylonian rather than Palestinian Jewish traditions were exiled to Sephardic, from whence they have been credited with disseminating Kabbalism throughout Europe. See Encarta and Grolier's encyclopedia entries on the Sephardi below. Amongst the most important Jewish thinkers from the Sephardic tradition was Moses Maimonides. Moses Maimonides lived from 1138 to 1204. He spent 10 full years compiling the Mishnah Torah, which he continued to revise throughout his lifetime. Moses Maimonides, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, usually referred to in Hebrew by the acronym Rambam, was one of the towering figures in medieval intellectual and religious life. Most of his writings were in Arabic since he lived in Islamic Spain. In addition to his law code, he excelled in the field of philosophy, science, medicine, exegesis, and communal leadership. Though born in Spain, in his youth his family fled religious persecution, settling in Egypt. Maimonides' Mishnah Torah was intended to be a summary of the entire body of Jewish religious law. It opens with a section on systematic philosophical theology, derived largely from Aristotelian science and metaphysics, which it regards as the most important component of Jewish law. Most other Jewish codes avoiding mixing creed and religious law, and Maimonides' interpretation of Jewish religion in terms of Greek ideas aroused much opposition. So, again, if I would just interject here, this Moses Maimonides is the author of the Mishnah Torah, it's called, and according to this author, as the information is posted at www.blessedquietness.com, in chapter 10 of the English translation, Maimonides' Mishnah Torah curses Jesus Christ. It is a mitzvah, religious duty, capital A, capital R, capital C, however, to eradicate Jewish traitors, Minim, and Epicurean, and to cause them to descend to the pit of destruction, since they cause difficulty to the Jews and sway the people away from God, as did Jesus of Nazareth and his students, and Siddhat Baithus and their students, may the name of the wicked rot. So, Mr. Torah, also with Maimonides, very anti-Christ, to say the least. The Talmud, according to the author here, www.blessedquietness.com, Babylonian Talmud, Gemmer, the author is going to be getting to the Talmud and Jesus Christ. So, rehashing here, the Talmud and the history behind the Talmud. The Babylonian Talmud is a commentary on the Mishnah composed by Babylonian Jewish sages, Ravs, from the early 3rd to the 6th century. A Jewish sage who was from Babylonia would have been addressed by the title Rav, while one who lived in Israel would have been called Rabbi. One portion of the Talmud dealt with folklore, especially magical and medical recipes. The following statement from Torah Kabbalah by R.C. Musaf Adrius on the primacy of the Babylonian Talmud is representative of Jewish scholarship. And there is a quote here from page 40 of New York Oxford University Press, 1982. There are two editions of the Talmud, the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud. These two, the Babylonian Talmud is authoritative Orthodox Judaism, which regards it as divinely inspired. The superiority of the Babylonian Talmud is so great that when people now talk about the Talmud, they always mean the Babylonian Talmud. The authority of the Babylonian Talmud is also greater than that of the Jerusalem Talmud. In cases of doubt, the former is decisive. And if I would just interject here again, this Babylonian Talmud, this Talmud is very, very much a part of Judaism today. Quoting Joseph Barclay in Secret Societies and Subversive Movements, Nestor Webster has exposed the virulent Antichrist teachings of the Talmud. So also, it was the rabbis who, after hiding from the people the meaning of the sacred tradition at the moment of its fulfillment, afterwards poisoned that same stream for future generations. Abominable calumnies on Christ and Christianity are found not only in the Kabbalah, but in the earlier editions of the Talmud. In these, says Barclay, our Lord and Savior is that one, such an one, a fool, the leper, the deceiver of Israel. Efforts are made to prove that he is the son of Joseph Pandera before his marriage with Mary. His miracles are attributed to sorcery, the secret of which he brought in a slit in his flesh out of Egypt. He is said to have been first stoned and then hanged on the eve of the Passover. His disciples are called heretics and opprobrious names. They are accused of immoral practices, as the New Testament is called a sinful book. The references on these subjects manifest the most bitter aversion and hatred. Joseph Barclay, the Talmud, page 38, 39. Omni Publications, 1964, page 18, 19. So, back to Victoria Dillon. The Talmud and Jesus Christ. Since we are asked to embrace the teachings of the Talmud and various other writings of the Hebrew people, we should start by inquiring as to what these teach about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verses 10 to 13 reads, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. From a Jewish article about Jesus, we learn that the Talmud slanders our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Jewish encyclopedia admits that Jewish legends concerning Jesus are found in the Talmud, in Midrash, and in the life of Jesus, Toledot Yeshu, that originated in the Middle Ages. It is the tendency of all these sources to belittle the person of Jesus by ascribing to him illegitimate birth, magic, and a shameful death. I trust you're starting to see now why Pharisees all the more made the accusation that they made. Vivian goes on, upon scrutiny, one also finds that Jesus is maligned as a false teacher. He, speaking of Jesus, is referred to in the Talmud as Otho-ish, that man. The one who is known to all, in the tract, Abhodah-Zara 6a, we read, he is called a Christian who follows the false teachings of that man. He taught them to celebrate the feast on the first day of the Sabbath, that is, to worship on the first day after the Sabbath, probably the one who was hanged. Many people believe the name of Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua or Yeshua. However, the complete, now, this right here, I'm just interjecting, this right here is talking about how the Talmud, how Orthodox Jews in general today refer to the name of Jesus. Many people believe that the name for Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua or Yeshua. However, the complete, quote, name in Hebrew would be Yeshua HaNosri. Jesus the Nazarene. He's called Nosri from the city of Nazareth. In the Talmud, Christians are also called Nosri, amongst other things. Since the word Yeshua means Savior, the name Jesus rarely occurs in the Jewish books. It is almost always abbreviated to Yeshu. In the Talmud, the name Yeshu can apparently be translated, quote, as if it were composed of the initial letters of the three words Imach Shemo Vezikro, meaning, may his name be blotted out. Hebrew roots proponents might say that these teachings are in the past. However, a review of various sources reveals the same or similar teachings. The Talmud and Kabbalah teachings of the Toledot Yeshu, or Toledot Leshu, or Sefer Toledot Yehoshua, represent various teachings regarding Christ, which may be shocking to many. A brief overview of these teachings refers to writings that quote the Talmud, Treatise Sabbath, Folio 104, Treatise Sanhedrin, Folio 107, and Soda, Folio 47, which presents this falsified account of Jesus. Vivian now goes on to lay out this quote concerning this falsified account of Jesus. The Toledot Yeshu relates the most decent details that Miriam, a hairdresser of Bethlehem, affianced to a young man named Yochanan, was seduced by a libertine, Joseph Panther, or Pandera, and gave birth to a son whom she named Yehoshua Yeshu. According to the Talmudic authors of the Sod and the Sanhedrin, Yeshu was taken during his boyhood to Egypt, where he was initiated into the secret doctrines of the priest, and on his return to Palestine, gave himself up to the practice of magic. The Toledot Yeshu, however, was on to say that on reaching manhood, Yeshu learnt the secret of his illegitimacy, on account of which he was driven out of the synagogue and took refuge for a time in Galilee. goes on with another quote concerning this falsified account of Jesus. Now, there was in the temple a stone on which was engraved the Kedrogram Lepkon, capital Y, capital H, capital W, capital H, or Shem Haphorus, that is to say, the ineffable name of God. This stone had been found by King David when the foundations of the temple were being prepared and was deposited by him in the Holy of Holies. Yeshua, knowing this, came from Galilee and penetrated into the Holy of Holies, read the ineffable name, which he transcribed onto a piece, of whom parchment and concealed in an incision under his skin. By this means, he was able to work miracles to persuade the people that he was the Son of God foretold by Isaiah. With the aid of Judas, the sages of the synagogue, succeeding in capturing Yeshua, who was then led before the great and little Sanhedrin, by whom he was condemned to be stoned to death and finally hanged, quote unquote. Such is the story of Christ according to the Jewish Kabbalah. This false witness to the person of Jesus in the Talmud is also confirmed by Reverend Ivy Prentice in his online report, The Talmud of Mass, the Secret Rabbinical Teachings Concerning Christians and Other Sources. Vivian goes on. Another Jesus? Question mark. In his article, Some Disturbing Aspects of the So-Called Hebrew Roots Movement and Their Implications, Andrew Gold presents the Hebrew Roots' doubtful view concerning the validity of the Gospel account of Jesus. And Vivian quotes Andrew Gold here. It has been widely accepted in Hebrew Roots circles that Jesus spoke Hebrew and that the Gospels were originally written in Hebrew. Most Hebrew Roots ministries have been influenced in this notion by the output of a body called the Jerusalem School of Synoptic Research, and most especially due to the widespread influence of the book, Understanding the Difficult Words of Jesus, published by David Bibin, director of the Jerusalem School of Synoptic Research, and his partner, Roy Blizzard, in 1984 and reprinted in 1994 and 1995, quote-unquote. According to the Jerusalem School of Synoptic Research, there is a more authentic life of Jesus than the Gospel accounts. Vivian now quotes from this source from the Jerusalem School of Synoptic Research. There was an original Hebrew life of Jesus, from parts of which our canonical Greek Gospel texts are mere compilations and translations. The individual words of the Greek text that we have are standard Greek equivalents used to translate Hebrew documents into Greek. Therefore, we can retranslate back into Hebrew to discover what Jesus really said. Failure to appreciate the Hebraic origins of the Gospels has led to mistranslation, misinterpretation, spiritually damaging, error, and doctrinal confusion. Vivian goes on. Toledo, Yeshua, with its various components, is one of the Hebrew or Jewish views of Jesus. Those who rejected him as God come in the flesh. It has been established that the original manuscripts of the New Testament were composed in Greek. One accepts Jewish thought regarding who Jesus was, according to Judaic writings and teachings, that Jesus was not divine. It has also been made that he was not viewed as divine by his disciples, but was viewed as the human Messiah. This subject will be pursued in the next section on Jewish thought. Sir James Fraser, author of The Golden Bough, mentions that to cast doubts on the historical reality of Jesus, it would be hardly less absurd than it would be to doubt Muhammad, and so on. Other historians reiterate that the existence of Christ is an historic fact. However, René Guénon, who writes with inside knowledge of theosophy in Le Theosophisme, 1921, cites a reference to the occultic Lelotus of 1887, which states that Jesus Christ in the New Testament never existed, but the Jesus of the Talmud did exist. Vivian goes on here, another quote from this source. Madame Blavatsky writes, now, I'm just going to interject here for a little bit, but Madame Blavatsky, in case you didn't know, she is like the mother of the New Age movement. Madame Blavatsky's writing on the person of Christ For me, Jesus Christ, that is to say, the man God of the Christians, copy of the avatars of all countries, of the Hindu Krishna and of the Egyptian Horus, was never a historical personage. Hence, the story of his life is merely an allegory founded on the existence of a personage named Yehoshua, born at Lourdes. Elsewhere, she asserted that Jesus may have lived during the Christian era or a century earlier, as the separate term of Yehoshua indicates. So, Vivian, after clarifying here the fact that Mavram Blavatsky elsewhere asserted that Jesus may have lived during the Christian era or a century earlier, as the separate total Yehoshua indicates. Once again, here is a quote, and Madame Blavatsky went on to say of the Sabbats who deny the historical value of this legend, that they either lie or talk nonsense. It is our masters who affirm it. If the history of Yehoshua or Jesus spent in there is false, then the whole of the Talmud, the whole of the Jewish canon law, is false. It was the disciple of Yehoshua ben Parakai, the fifth president of the Sanhedrin since Ezra, who rewrote the Bible. This story is much truer than that of the New Testament, which history does not say a word. Vivian goes on, is it possible that Yehoshua ben Pindara of the Toledot Yeshua of the Talmud, who was initiated into the secret doctrines and gave himself up to the practice of magic, is Yehoshua or Yeshua from the Hebrew Roots Ministry's worship? The following is a portion of an email exchange dated January 28, 1999, between the writer, Vivian, and Yuri Marcus of Nehemiah Trusty Covenant Fund. Vicki Dillon. The name Jesus Christ is known worldwide and synonymous with Christianity. That is a historical fact. Yuri Marcus responds, today, yes, 200 plus years ago, it was synonymous with nothing. How naive are you of history? Vicki Dillon responds, the Jewish people reject that Jesus Christ was divine and believe that he was not God come in the flesh. I believe, on the other hand, that he is all of that. Where do you stand, Yuri? In the Jewish belief, or in what Christ himself said and what is taught in the New Testament? Yuri Marcus responds, I believe in the Jewish belief, but your definition is somewhat lacking. Doesn't look like he would understand it, since it has already been explained, and it just goes right over your head. I just wanted to clarify, but I said originally her name is Vivian. It's Vicki. Vicki Dillon is the author's name. Vicki, not Vivian. Vicki Dillon. Vicki goes on. From the La Science des Esprits, by the 19th century occultist, Alethus Levy, we learn that the Kabbalistic Toledot Yeshu and the similar Talmudic teachings were purposely hidden from Christians. The Toledot Yeshu are the separate Toledot Yeshu, described here as originating in the Middle Ages, belongs in a much earlier period. Alethus Levy asserts that the Sefer Toledot, which the Jews attribute to great antiquity, and which they hid from the Christians with such precautions that this book was for a long time unfindable, is quoted for the first time by Raymond Martin of the Order of the Preaching Brothers. This book is evidently written by a rabbi initiated into the mysteries of the Kabbalah. History reveals that the Talmud itself was put on trial and ordered to be burned by King Louis the Ninth in June of 1242. Because of the various slanders against Christ and Christianity, it was stated that the Talmud contained such things as it being acceptable to deceive a Christian without any scruple, and that it was permitted to break a promise, and so on. Go ahead here and finish this one section. retained until Miguel Yeshua, and similar teachings were known in Jewish circles, but did not come into the hands of the Gentiles or Christians until Rabbi Martin translated the Torah to Shoe into Latin. Later, Martin Luther summarized it in German under the name Shem Hemporsch, and his expose can be found in French in Gustave Brunet's Evangelist's Apocryphy. According to Geschichte der Juden, by Jewish historian Heinrich Graetz, the image of Jesus Christ is simply an offshoot of Essenism, and Jesus was just performing what any adept in the mysteries could do. And again, if I could interject here, we are simply laying out what the Kabbalistic, Talmudic, the Jewish perception of Jesus Christ is, and indeed it is Antichrist. Thus, the Jewish historian Graetz declares that Jesus simply appropriated to himself the essential features of Essenism, and that primitive Christianity was nothing but an offshoot of Essenism. Next up, Webster summarizes the Christ of the Talmud. So after representing Christ as a magician in the Toledo Yeshua of the Talmud, Jewish tradition seeks to explain his miraculous works as those of a mere healer, an idea that we shall find descending right through the secret societies to this day. The miracles of Christ were simply due to a knowledge of natural laws, and his doctrines were the outcome of a sect. The whole theory of his divine power and mission falls to the ground. Many sources state that when the teachings regarding Jesus Christ and the Talmud of Yeshua and other Jewish books were discovered in the early 1600s, there were serious repercussions. The Jewish synod in Poland in 1531 ordered the offending passages to be expunged and replaced by circles which the rabbis would fill in orally when giving instructions to young Jews. This is documented by P.L.B. Drack. I think he has a quote here. Drack, OPCIT 168-169, text of this encyclical is given in Hebrew and also in translation thus. This is why we enjoin you, under the pain of excommunication major, to print nothing in future editions, whether of Mishnah or of the Gemara, which relates, whether for good or evil, the acts of Jesus the Nazarene, and to substitute instead a circle like this, O, which will warn the rabbis and schoolmasters to teach the young these passages only viva voce. By means of this precaution, the saints among the Nazarenes will have no further pretext to attack us on this subject. Talmud, Babylon, page 45, 1831. But he goes on, these passages are said to have been reinserted since then, although with such offensive passages would not necessarily be in any English translations or newer editions. These, then, are some of the Hebrew roots, a significant part of which are the teachings and thought within the Talmud regarding our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some might say that the views presented from the past regarding Jesus Christ do not apply today or have no effect on our study in Jewish tradition, teachings, or thought within the Hebrew Roots movement, that perhaps the above information is no longer taught. We must ask ourselves then what was and is today Jewish thought regarding the Messiah, salvation, sin, Son of God, and the divinity of Christ. Do these Jewish terms mean the same as what we think? John 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4, 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In his volume, the Talmud, Joseph Barclay confirmed the writings of Drack, a Talmudist Turk Catholic, whose writings were never refuted by Jews, that Jesus was a sorcerer. The following calumnies on Christ and Christianity occur not only in the Kabbalah, but in the earlier editions of the Talmud. In these, says Barclay, our Lord and Savior is that one, such an one, a fool, the leper, the deceiver of Israel. Efforts are made to prove that he is the son of Joseph Pandera before his marriage with Mary. His miracles are attributed to the sorcery of the secret of which he brought in a slip in his flesh out of Egypt. He is said He has been first stoned and then hanged on the eve of the Passover. His disciples are called heretics in the previous names. They are accused of the moral practices in the New Testament is called the simple book. References to these subjects manifest the most bitter aversion and hatred. We're going to conclude there for the night. Let me just interject and say, isn't that interesting? In his volume, Vicki records here, in his volume, the Talmud, Joseph Barclay confirmed the writings of Brock, a Talmudist turned Catholic in his writings, never refuted by Jews, that Jesus was a sorcerer. And I'm once again reminded, and I'll conclude this message with this verse right here in Revelation. And then, Kenny, you can give the invitation. Here in Revelation, the word of the Lord to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, he says, he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Or say, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, but thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and they're not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for cursed be everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. We're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sin to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.